You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So obviously we got everybody in action, Mets, Yanks, Jets, Giants, obviously this weekend, BT. So maybe a dilemma. I guess Evan was talking about this yesterday. I didn't hear it, but I did hear the morning show talking a little bit about it. As far as Evan with the season tickets, not going to go to the game, the Jet game that is, because there's other stuff going on. And you mentioned this before, that apparently there was a site that says that a certain percentage of fans are Steelers fans that are going to this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw this. Samini had this yesterday. It's Vivid Seats, not to give him a pop, but obviously referencing the story. And they tweeted out, they forecast right now 48% of MetLife Stadium will be full of Steeler fans on Sunday. And they track it, obviously, just, you know, regionally, territorially, where you are. Prior purchases, you know, account stuff. It's so easy to tell, you know, track this stuff at this point. So I would have to think, even if it's a percentage point or two off, it's in the neighborhood, be half full of Steeler fans. What are we doing here? Now, I'm not going to tell people to spend money they don't have. I would never do that, and I've never done that once in my career. But what I don't understand, like, the season ticket base now is willingly checking out of going to the Jets and allowing Steeler fans to get it, which I also, there's a business element here, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
If it's week 6 or week 7 or week 9 and the season's over, as it usually is, I don't understand, like, how there's not, at least, even if it's fake enthusiasm, to start, like, enthusiasm and hope and support for Aaron Glenn at his first game. You're going to let 40,000 Steeler fans take over MetLife Stadium? What the hell's going on?
Well, the problem is that what other games are you looking at throughout the course of the schedule that are going to be as appealing as this one
from a home perspective.
For opposing fans. I'm saying there are two perspectives. You can look at it from the fans, say, I got to go to this game. Like, I even contemplated going. I'm not going to, but, oh, man, Aaron Rodgers coming back. Like, that's a great game to go to. Week one, Jets home opener. But if you're selling the ticket, there's appeal there where you look at the rest of the schedule. Yeah, okay, the Cowboys game, week 5, which you mentioned.
We're going to that one.
But still, okay, that's an appeal, an appealing game.
Yeah.
If you're a season ticket holder trying to get some of your money back, assuming you're not going to every game, you're not doing it against the Panthers. I mean, the Patriots,
the Browns, Dolphins, the Falcons,
at this point.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So look at the schedule. Like,
There's two places to make big money. It's the Steelers and it's Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't push back on that. That's why I get separation between just being a fan and the money aspect. Like, if you need the money, you know, if you've had a very rough year and you need this to support either ticket prices or mortgage, I hope it works out favorably for you. I'm not here to judge anybody with that. But
in that case, then why should you be buying season tickets to begin with?
Dude, there's 8 million people in the New York, New Jersey area. You telling me that all the gym, like, it's suddenly an issue? No, this is just, and there's been economic downturns in the past. And again, I'm not judging. I'm not trying to get preachy here. If this was week 5, and really, I mean this, and the Jets were 1, even if, hell, the Jets were 0-2 or 1-3, I get it. You know, but opening, to me, it's more about the symbolism. The potential, hear me, I'm not calling a guarantee, the potential to change, you know, turn the page, a new chapter. I just feel like Aaron Glenn, who is one of us, by the way, he's a former New York Jet.
Yeah.
I just feel like he deserves better than having 50,000 or 40,000 terrible towels being shoved in his face on opening week.
I'm with you. New regime.
That's all.
Aaron Glenn's handled things the right way.
Yeah, if it was Salva still here, I don't think I'd say anything.
Go support your guy, at least in week one. And this, to me, is not about finances. We could bring that up, and maybe that's an element for some people. It's really not. If people were excited about the Jets and the prospects for the season and the potential that they have,
yeah,
they'd be filling
Bingo.
Up the stadium.
You nailed it.
That's it. So it's more about the fans checking out because the team hasn't given him much. I can't even blame him for that, but that's what it's about. I think that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, listen, you, and I understand that. Now, if you tell me, and I'm sure ticket prices raised, I'm sure we can get tweets on this, calls, whatever, not that I'm really looking to go down that road, but if you had some meaningful information, we're all ears. Like, if you called us up and said, hey, the Jets, despite last year's circus and the mockery that they've been forever, they wanted a 18% hike on ticket, but I'd say screw the, I would say it, screw the Jets. They don't deserve an 8 cents hike on the product that they've given us, so I wouldn't. But I don't like, you already have the tickets, so the purchase has already been made.
Right.
So from a Jets fan, and it holds 80,000 people, as we know, MetLife, from a Jets fan perspective, the tickets, you've already accrued the you've got them, you own them, if you will. So you're making the conscious decision. I know it's motivated by money, that's why I don't want to get preachy, it's a fine line, but you are saying, nah, I'm good. Even though I have no idea what's going to happen this season, it could be very favorable. It could be a disaster, but it could be favorable. But I'm tapping out week one, game one of Aaron Glenn because I can make an extra $90 because they're playing the Steelers. Listen, I understand there's different levels of poverty and business. And again, not here to judge. That strikes me as a little much, quite frankly.
Just to me, that's not being a great fan, but whatever, to each their own. I don't love going to football games myself. The hassle of getting there. Some people, it's ritual, tradition, whatever it may be. And there is an element of to me, that's fun about that. Like, maybe I wish I did grow up in a home that had season tickets to the Jets or Giants.
Yeah.
The tradition was going out there and tailgating for, you know, 8 games or whatever it may be, even if it's, a 5 games, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
That, a part of that is appealing to me. However, I've become so accustomed to lining up my Sundays with the multiple screens, with the fantasy, with the straight bets, whatever it is. I like watching everything or being locked in even to the Jets and Giants. Forget about even the other teams. Just being locked into those games on TV. Whereas if you're at the stadium, it's more of an event. You're going out to drink and eat
and watch
the game. Yeah, but it's like a secondary thing.
It really is. And it's funny. Ironically, I see the Jets on the road more recently than I do at MetLife. I'm not a big fan of MetLife Stadium, but with the side hustle, the travel company, I've gone to Vegas, I've gone to Dallas, I've gone to Green Bay, we've gone to Tennessee, we got a couple things lined up this year. You guys can check my social media if you want to check that out there and join us. But it's really, to me, it's a different level of commitment. So I'm not judging because, I'm older, my daughter's got soccer on Sunday, the Giants are playing at the same time. I will say this, like, if the Giants were playing Monday night, this is a game I might say, I can't come watch you play Sunday, which I never say to either one of my children, but daddy's got to be at this game. Like, I would have loved to have been there for this game.
Yeah.
But I can't justify doing what I do for a living, going there 2 hours early, which is fun. Then if you stay for the whole game, which you have to, and then 2 hours getting out of that freaking parking lot, which stinks. And then, I'm going to watch the Giants, but I already know what happened, so you're not really watching it the same way.
Yeah, I know.
I can't operate like
that. Mets and Yanks. No, and also, you mentioned it, like, if you're going to go to the football game, and this is what I have an issue with, because I usually don't go to tailgate. I went to 2 games last year, actually. I went to the Thursday night, week 3, Jets-Pats.
I remember when you went to that.
And I went to the Thursday night, I forget which week, Giants-Cowboys.
Yes.
Thursday night was easy for me. All right, I'm ready at work. Just go after work, maybe leave a little early and get out of there. But you really shouldn't be leaving early. The right way to do a football game is to go 2 hours early and tailgate.
Yep.
Go to the game and then stay 2 hours afterward or an hour and a half after.
And whatever. Tailgate again.
And tailgate
that's
again.
That's what we always did. We'd fire the barbecue right back up.
That's the right way to do it.
It's the perfect way.
I don't have the luxury of doing that anymore.
Yeah, I know. Not at this stage of life.
Yeah. And
I could. My wife would be cool with it. It's just a lot.
You're going to be out of the house all day.
If I said, Jen, I'm going to the Jets game this Sunday. I'm going there 2 or 3. I'm not going to say I'm leaving at 8:12, but I leave the house and when are you going to be home? I'm going to hang out a little bit after and I'll be home probably. Let's see, games go 1 to 4. Hang out 2 more hours, sick, and I'll be home at 7:30, 8 o'clock. She wouldn't say no.
Yeah, no.
Now, I wouldn't do that to my family very well, but I promise she wouldn't say no.
Well, I wouldn't be asking.
That's what I'm not asking. I don't mean to sound like that, but no, she knows.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't do it that much.
But also then by the time you get home and whatever shape you're in, now you got to catch up on the Giants as well.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's too much commitment, let alone from working 5 days a week and being away from the family.
And Yanks-Mets struggle.
It's a major major commitment. I respect the diehard football fans that go out there and do it, but it is. And plus, watching it is so much a better experience.
That's the other thing that's changed, too. And again, you know, back in the day, like when I had the tickets, they weren't in my name, but for 3 or 4 years, starting with Parcells at the old Meadowlands, like you would get, get the bets in, obviously, you know, back then, kind of really not the legal way, but you still find a way to get the bets in. And you're looking up at the scoreboard and you're getting out of town highlights. I'm like, oh, God, I bet the Dolphins today they're losing by 10. But like, you don't really feel like you're losing that much in terms of the viewing experience. When you go to a game now, you know, even if you're in a suite at MetLife, and some of those are pretty nice, you know, they do have some amenities here, it's just not this. It takes 40 minutes to get a urinal. It's not anything I'm looking to do that much.
Right.
Just really not.
The old 20-year-old me doesn't care. Ugh. 30-year-old me doesn't care. Yep. The older you get.
Yeah, true.
It's just a different experience. All right, WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Rob is calling from New London, Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Rob.
No complaints. It's beautiful out. So, I have a main point, but need your opinion real quick. So, which loss in Giants history, I know you're Jets fans predominantly, but the Flipper Anderson game or the 49ers game in 2003?
Oh, with the bad snap. With the,
which is the worst
it's
loss?
It's the Niners game. I was watching that live with a Niners fan. It's got to be the, Trey Junks? It's got to be the Niners.
You think so?
I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know for sure. But it's a play. Well, yeah, so was the Flipper. That was next level hurt. And if I'm not mistaken, Rob, Jeremy Shockey dropped a touchdown pass that game and threw ice at a fan like in a cup. Yeah, that was a weird game. Giants absolutely should have won that game.
Shockey's biggest mistake in that game was he could have gone for a touchdown, but he was more interested in proving his manhood, and he got tackled when he could have gone in the end zone. And they settled for a field goal. But here's the deal. I think the Flipper Anderson game, don't you think the 89 team had more promise as far as championship?
Yeah. I mean, it was also, you know, a couple of years after the first one, a year before the next one. Like, I don't know. I you're better equipped to answer. I'm just giving you my opinion. Now, Flipper Anderson was...
Okay, but that's all I wanted.
Yeah, no.
What was the point of this conversation again?
What was the worst Giant loss? The 89 Flipper game, what do you have, three touchdowns or whatever it was, or the Niners-Giants game in 04 when they lost just a disgraceful defeat that Tiki was there for?
Rob?
Okay, so my point of the actual call is I think the Giants are going to... I think they're going to win at least 9 to 10 games.
Here we go.
Two out of three. No, listen to this. Right, they excel at two out of three phases of the game. We've been told that our entire lives of football, but the schedule cannot overlap special teams and defense. So I think realistically, I'm not saying we're going to win 11 games or even 10.
Yep.
I think we're going to win 9 games, though. I don't know. That's my
thing. You're optimistic.
And thanks for the call, Rob.
Thanks.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the trip down memory lane was about, but there we go. We get to the schedule this year, which is about this year. I mean, look, if everything goes perfectly for the Giants, maybe they could win 9 games. I'm not looking at them as a playoff team. I think that should be the expectation, and they should be... You know, the way that they talk, hey, the roster was loaded last year. Somehow they only won 3 games, but the roster was loaded. They love all the players. They've had these great drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their defense is loaded this year. They've got a veteran quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They've got a young stud in the waiting in Jackson Dart. Like, I don't want to hear the excuses. They got a healthy team so far. I saw today that Andrew Thomas and Theo Johnson are both, I guess, practicing or whatever.
Okay.
They should be okay here ahead of Sunday. I don't want to hear about the schedule. I don't want to hear the excuses. Go out there and win 9 or 10 games. It's year 4 with Shane and Dable. Like, at some point, they actually got to start winning games.
There's a time to provide context to why things aren't going well with every franchise in town. And then there's a time where you just got to sit back and say, yo, how much longer am I going to wait for this thing to get going?
They've got to start winning some football
games. Not 9 or 10 or an inordinate amount. They're not there yet, and the schedule is brutal. But and this applies to the Jets as well. It does have to start with more competitive games. And both teams did lose some tough ones last year. And I ran through some of the games, like Jets, a couple of one-point losses. Giants had a couple of really tough ones as well. The overtime game against Carolina comes to mind. So there is, to me, a path for both teams to win a couple of more games than they have recently. But you got to do it. You can't.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Start 1-5 and be buried by before Halloween.
The Mets are in action right now. No score in Detroit. You know, you mentioned this, BT, in our pre-show meeting, and I was thinking it last night watching the game in real time. That was the best start of Nolan McLean's young career. I know it was only, you know, his fourth start, and obviously he only lasted six innings. They were allowing the two runs. So you look at it and say, well, how could that be his best start when he went out and shut out the Phillies for eight innings because of the adversity he handled early on, when you're thinking, you know what? All right, he gave up the lead. Maybe he just doesn't have it tonight.
Yep.
He battled, he responded, and got through the six innings strong.
You had to watch the other three starts, as obviously we did, to have, I think, to come to that conclusion here. I think that bodes him very well in the postseason here. It's not going to be smooth sailing. I mean, listen, I'm not saying he can't go on some dominant run in October and put up a ton of zeros. He very well might, because his stuff is filthy. But to show the... I think he got a chance to lift up the hood a little bit last night and kind of see what the guts of the automobile looks like. And it matches the wheels and the rims and the stereo system. Like, I think you learned a little bit more about him in terms of whether it's a heart rate, whether it's a perseverance, whether it's a maturity. It was a very good sign for him. He just plowed through it. I mean, what did he throw, 28, 29 pitches first inning? Couple of walks, couple of hits?
Like that.
I think it was 29 or 30, and he didn't go eight innings, but he did enough, and he retired 14 straight to finish up the game. That's a big boy effort right there. Good stuff.
Now, what I would say is the expectations still got to be controlled here. I know you mentioned Boomer was talking about that he's Seaver. Yeah. Or Nolan Ryan.
More just in his, like, his, not you know,
demeanor.
They were having a little fun, but yeah. Not okay. Like he's got the same stuff as Seaver, more his delivery and how he uses his legs. And
okay.
I mean, Gio was mocking him. I'm like, I got you, Boomer. I know what you mean.
I'm not going to go there with any kind of comparison. I think if you start putting a pitcher in Seaver's category, it just could be harmful to the pitcher himself.
Yeah.
But you like the makeup that he's shown already. But what I would say is, as much as I love him and trust him more than any other Mets starter right now, I still don't think that it's a given he's going to go out there. Like, even the best of guys, Max Fried, went through a little bit of a rut.
So sure.
At some point, there's going to be some troubles that McLean's going to have. You just hope it doesn't kick in until next year. Or maybe his next start, he could have a rough outing. Sure, you don't want it to happen in the postseason. That would be the issue. But right now, I mean, Nolan McLean has been a godsend for this team. It's exactly what the Mets have needed.
In a lot of ways, he saved the season. I don't think that that's hyperbolic. I mean, think about where the Mets were. And think about where they'd be without him. Number one, they'd have literally a few fewer wins at this point. And who knows what, you know, based on the residual impact of the starters just not going length at all, giving length. Like, the bullpen would have been even further taxed with if he didn't, you know, he just gave you a couple deep starts here. So I think, I don't know how you really fully quantify it, but there's the numbers, which are scintillating, number one. But then there's also, like, the aura. And there's the impact and just that extra little juice that young players provide. You know, there's just something to be said. It's just a very monotonous sport, and you do it every day. And you're at the ballpark 8, 9, 10 hours. I've always said this. Like, you better like each other, and you better have some young guns in there who, you know, got a little vibe going here. And he's got a very mature vibe, but he's got a very competitive vibe. And like I said, game one, whether it's wild card, DS, CS, World Series, whatever it might be for the Mets, he's getting the baseball from the manager.
Mets have needed it, and the Reds have fallen off. It's not like the Mets have been on a tear here. Yeah. The Reds, I think I just saw it come up on SNY. They were like 3-7 in the last 10, something like that. The Reds have played poorly, which has allowed the Mets to open up here a little bit. Also get closer to the Padres as well for that second wild card spot.
That's true.
So it shouldn't be about, you know, making the postseason anymore. It really should have never been about that. They should be a playoff team. We talked about this. If they won the third wild card, it's like, you're going to take bows for that? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Only if you make a deep run again, then you do.
Yeah, well, okay, but just get in. I do think that there, I don't know if you said this or somebody said it, I thought it was worded perfectly. Maybe it was somebody I was talking to SNY yesterday.
Sure.
I think it might have been somebody at SNY. The Mets have, their problems are regular season problems. They do not have postseason problems. Whatever. Now, they might eventually when we get to the postseason, but their problems that they have right now are specific to the regular season. Once they get to the postseason, I think those problems, their biggest problem, the starting pitching, goes away because you don't need as many and you don't need them to go as long. Each game with the off days in between and the shorter series, like everything's going to get shortened up. The rotation, not the starting rotation, the rotation of the entire staff, that's going to get tightened up as well. You could, you know, move, for example, move Manaea to the pen, which is something I would do. Now, all of a sudden, you strengthen the bullpen potentially with an arm like Manaea, who might be able to give you a solid inning or two, whereas he's a weakness in the rotation because he can't give you 5 or 6 good innings. So I think their problems are regular season problems, and in the postseason, they should get better. Doesn't mean they're going to win anything.
It just
means that I think the biggest issues now will go away once they get to the postseason.
It's an interesting way to look at it. I think it makes sense on most levels as I'm hearing it for the first time. Now, as you say, the other things that got going, the clutch hitting, the really everybody, Torrens is swinging the bat well. I mean, Beatty's been decent, obviously. Vientos has picked up. Soto's been phenomenal. I mean, Alonso, he's been a little up and down here, but not last night. But he's on pace for 131 RBIs, Pete Alonso. It's absolutely amazing.
Ridiculous.
So as long as the clutch stuff doesn't go away, and it doesn't have to be quite this clutch because this is very clutch.
Well, it's gotten significant better.
Yeah, but you don't even need that. You just can't. It can't be the exact opposite. Like it was among the worst,
just somewhere,
and now it's among the best, somewhere in between. Or I think with some of the hitters, it should be slightly better than middle of the pack, but it doesn't have to be elite because there's enough components as you get rid of some of these starting pitchers who just aren't that good.
Matt is calling from Westchester. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
What's up, boys? How we doing? Good show today.
Good, man. Thank you.
I wanted to make two Mets points. One was for Sal, going back to the Marte comments that Soto made. I'm not sure if you remember 2 years ago when Soto was in the Home Run Derby, Marte was the only guy out there with him. They've actually been best friends since Soto was in the Dominican when he was 16. They've known each other forever, and he was his mentor. And when he got to the Mets, that's been his best friend. So I think, you know, just from the lens of a guy that you've known for 10 or 15 years, I think at least to me, it makes sense why that's his guy and why he would look at him as the leader. I personally didn't see it as a shot at Lindor. And then the other point I wanted to make was just about the discussion about the guys traded at the deadline. I think one thing that Stearns has done exceptionally well is good teams have a lot of prospects that are tradable because they're really good at developing those guys. And I think you look at a guy like Gilbert or Tidwell, like older guys in the upper levels of the minors that are realistically not going to be stars, but, you know, serviceable players. Those are the guys you can trade. And the Mets system is just ranked number one. And we got pitching prospects. I know Santucci and third baseman Reamer and Ewing and all these guys coming up into the top 100. I think, you know, while I agree that the guys we've gotten aren't performing well, I think the process is right. And I think Stearns is really excellent at sort of not trading the guys that you can't develop over and over again, but sort of enticing teams, lesser developmental teams like the Giants or the White Sox or all these teams with guys that he's confident he can churn out year in and year out. So those are the 2 points I wanted to make.
Well, we have to see it. And thank you for the call, Matt. I want to see a World Series winning team. I want to get the best players now. That's my philosophy. Is that the smartest way? No, I acknowledge that. I understand being smart is, hey, let's get the cheaper players under control. Like, why would you ever give up a player that has potential with 5 years of control versus a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of this year? The answer is because the player that's going to be a free agent at the end of this year is better now. That's the answer. So while it might not be financially responsible, while it might not be responsible as far as the potential and the control, I get all that. I'm trying to win a World Series now. And sometimes you do that. Sometimes to do that, you have to make decisions that may not be the smartest decision long term.
Well, listen, we talked about this. And the Grisham-Beatty thing was very interesting. That was really, that was early in the show, maybe 10, whatever it was, 10, 40, 11, when that first came up. So I know if Grisham's in center for the Mets, they're better, because Mullins just hasn't done a whole lot here. And
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Obviously, Taylor, you know, can't really hit. He's not really healthy
right now.
He's
banged up, man. Taylor had to, had to go on the IL. McNeil's in center field today. So it shows you how much they think of Mullins.
Yeah.
He doesn't even play.
Yeah. I mean, he just hasn't done much here. I thought he'd do I didn't think he was the Mullins of 3 years ago. I thought he'd do a little bit more. Point being, let's say the Mets did ship out Beatty. And let's say this deal came to fruition. And today, Grisham's playing center field. For me, I would not elevate the Mets any higher than I had them right now as a World Series team, because I don't think the offense that they get from center field is going to derail them from a championship, provided the pitching, the front end pitching, stays up. The reason why I kept talking about the Mets center field issue was because the pitching early didn't see McClain. Tong wasn't here yet. And by the way, Vientos wasn't hitting, and Soto wasn't hitting really, for the first couple of months here. So it seemed more urgent.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't make them incrementally better, because he's a better player than Mullins, but to me, I'm asking you, would it tilt the needle for you if Grisham's playing center today? You're like, you feel like this is a lock stock World Series team? Because
no,
I wouldn't.
No, right now, it's easy to say no. Back then, where they needed more offense and clearly needed a center fielder, and he would be an upgrade. Do I think he would be the final piece and the difference maker between them and a World Series? No, probably not. But I guarantee he'd help more than Cedric Mullins. And they don't have a center fielder. Jeff McNeil's still playing center field. Mm-hmm. So now it's going to be, hey, maybe they got to get by with McNeil in center field. But if we
which
that,
I do not like in the postseason. Well, not in October.
So that's what
not
I mean.
Not with Nimmo to his right.
So that's what I mean. And look at what Grisham's doing. Maybe part of it is that we don't believe that Grisham, I don't know, is he going to be this outside of Yankee Stadium, not with the Yankees next year? Is he ever going to do what he's doing right now? Again, that's part of the gamble as well.
I mean, I do think he's got easy power, so that doesn't really, I mean, he's going to hit 32-30, so that surprised me a bit. But I don't know, is he going to really hit 255, 260, which he might this year? When you hit 190 and 203, whatever, I mean, that's a leap of faith I can't take.
But do you think giving up Beatty is too much? Especially at the time, like, that's the point here.
After you got to go back in real time at
they
that point.
They needed a center fielder. Grisham is a proven commodity. There aren't many good center fielders out there. Look at what they, I mean, it was either Bader or Cedric Mullins or Luis Robert. Those are the three that we were talking about.
Yep.
Neither of whom are very appealing. Like, if you ask me, I'd rather have Trent Grisham all day, every day over those guys, even before he went nuts this year. So, just based off what he did last year a little bit, maybe early on this season, expecting they would call off, he's still better than the other guys, so are you trying to upgrade the team or not? And clearly, their thought process, well, we don't think that upgrade is enough to justify trading the years of control and potential in what we deem another useful player in Brett Beatty.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't like to give up on lefty hitters, especially one that's shown. I'm not saying he's be Robbie Alomar over there, not necessarily the Mets version of Robbie Alomar, but more the Padres and Toronto version. I'm not saying he's going to be that kind of second baseman, but he's at least functional at second. He's got a good arm. You know, he's better at third than Vientos. I don't think Vientos is ever a major league third baseman, at least not one that's very competent. And when you're in your mid-20s and you're a pretty good athlete with a good arm, Beatty likes to show off the arm, and you're a lefty with some blossoming power, and I was looking for something. I couldn't find that. I had it earlier, damn it. But the advanced analytics are very favorable to Beatty from last year to this year. Like, his bat speed is in the higher percentile. His barrel rate, like, it's gone in a good direction, which to me tells me he's not just going to hit 15 or 16 home runs because he's getting lucky. Like, there's a legitimate uptick in pertinence, like, measurables.
Okay.
And so to me, that tells me it's a little bit more sustainable than maybe he's out, right? He's got to be out.
Yeah, McNeil just threw him out.
Nice.
How about
play
that?
By McNeil. Good tag, too. I like Beatty. I like him more than you. Not that I would never trade him, but for Grisham at that point, remember, Grisham's tacked on 7-8 home runs since then. You know what I mean?
Well, I know, but I'm saying before then, the Mets needed a center fielder. Beatty wasn't doing what he's doing now.
See that throw.
So McNeil, hop, the bang. Runner at first, he might have gotten around that tag.
He might have actually.
The runner at first tagged up on a fly ball to center field, relatively deep, but not too deep. And McNeil threw it in a second on the money.
They should review that. Not a great camera angle.
I don't know if Lindor got him.
It's the swim move. It doesn't even look like
not going to review. He's out.
Yeah, wow. All right,
and McNeil, you got to give McNeil credit because he has been a serviceable center fielder.
I agree.
No matter where they put him.
Listen, usually, because you don't think about Jeff McNeil, you think about him as a pure hitter, if anything, when he's on, and defensive versatility. Yeah. You don't think of him as like a speed guy. And listen, if you had a great left fielder, I know Nimmo's hitting the ball well, a great defensive left fielder, and Soto's fine in right field, I think I'd feel better, not great, but more okay with McNeil in center. I just think, like, in October, those chilly nights, you know, ball's in the gap. He's not a natural center fielder. Nimmo's got a rag arm. I don't love it for a team that's trying to win a World Series.
Yeah.
I just don't. But he has done a pretty good job. I give him credit for working hard out there.
Do you have Grisham numbers up?
I can get them fast. What do you need?
I just want to compare him to Nimmo's real quick.
All right, you got Nimmo. Let me get Grisham here. Yes. Grisham stats.
He's got decent numbers.
Yeah, he
does. But just not. I know he's been better as of late. You know, 22 homers. All right. 267 batting average.
It's fine. 270 is fine.
780. Well, yeah, the batting average fine. Yeah. And the home runs are okay. But just the consistency hasn't been there. 78 ribbies, actually not bad. 789 OPS.
That's almost 800. That's good.
Where's Grisham at?
840.
Okay.
OPS.
And how many homers?
He's got, I think he's got 29. 29.
And 20,
the last time was 29.
Average?
And he's batting 248 on base, running around 35%.
Yeah.
And the OPS is 840. Now, here's the thing, though. So at least
you're getting $5 million a year.
Well, that's five versus 20, whatever it was for Nimmo. But also, Sal, you look at this is why it's going to be a very tricky offseason read for him in terms of his free agent worth. All right, so he's at 840 now. Let's say he dips a little bit. He finishes at 803. That's still a massive season for him unexpectedly. Last year, OPS, 675. The year before that, 666. The year before that, 626. Like, you tell me who the real Grisham is.
Yeah. I don't
come
know.
On.
No, I know, but you tell me who the real Brandon Nimmo is.
Yeah, but I believe more in Nimmo's success because he's done it far more. Now, his on base has dipped, but he's been a far more frequent above league average performer than Grisham.
He had 224 last year.
Dude, Grisham hit 190 last year and 198 and 184.
Yeah, I get it. I'm saying right now. Like, right now, I trust the Mets offense. If you were to swap Grisham for Nimmo, I would trust Grisham more so this year, right now. Now, that's not going to happen. That was not the swap. I'm just saying that type of bat, like, if you're looking to add, they call him the core four. Mm-hmm. Brandon Nimmo, to me, is not he's not doing a job.
No. And I'm not trying to get on the top of the mountain and scream, you know, bloody murder for anybody who says anything about negatively against Nimmo or honestly about Brandon Nimmo. I think he's a flawed player. He should steal more bases, although he has this year. He really has a rag arm, whatever. But and he's a little bit too inconsistent. When he gets hot, he's red hot. He's cold. He's freezing cold.
Yeah, although his numbers at the end of the year,
they always seem to get
generally
there.
Generally consistent.
I agree.
Generally
that's why I'm defending himself. But you look at, and again, all right, batting averages and everything. But, geez, you go from 22, 23, and 24. I mean, Trent Grisham hit 184, 198, and 190.
Yeah.
I mean, we could be real about Nimmo, but let's not disrespect Brandon Nimmo.
No, I mean, what do you mean disrespect?
The guy hit less than 203 years in a row. You're saying you'd rather have Grisham this year than Nimmo.
I would, yes. I don't even think it's particularly close, not to mention that Grisham's a better fielder.
But you're also assuming that what Grisham's done, and you could be right with this assumption, but you could be wrong, that what he's done so far this year, he's going to do the last month of the season. Maybe he turns into a 112 hitter.
Yeah, maybe, but we were waiting for that to happen after April or May.
I hear you.
He's had a terrific year.
He has had a really good year.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. John is in St. Louis. What's up, John?
My dad took me to play on the playground. I was a little kid, and I saw them playing asses up. So I run over, asked these older kids if I could play. Sure enough, I'm the first one to go out, and I immediately run off the court, go to my dad, and I'm like, hey, I'm getting a little tired, man. I think it's time to go. And he's like, what? So he walks over, he sees the kids laughing at me from the park. He goes, are you just playing asses up? I go, yeah. And he goes, did you lose? And I said, yeah. And he goes, did you get hit? I go, no, I ran away. He goes, oh, okay. Grabs me by the neck, drags me to the court, holds me bent over, and gives every kid like five throws to absolutely wreck me from my front leg.
Jesus. Good God almighty. I thought I ran a tough ship.
Holy God. He goes, you're never going to do that again. Throws me in the car or out of it.
Wow. What did your dad...
I like it. I bet it taught you some discipline.
What did he do for a living? What was his job? I'm curious.
He walked the beat on the Upper East Side.
There you go. No, he was on the job. Tough as nails back then. Got it. All right. That's a good story. Wow.
Yeah, it's all time.
Hey, get back there, you wuss. Yeah. Bend over. Everybody take aim.
There we go, talking about, what was the name of the game?
Hey, by the way, before we get to these over-unders, that was a good call, by the way. This is not particularly good. It's more on Tucker. This is 30 minutes ago, so Schefter had this. Let me make sure I'm not getting ball sacked. Is this the real Adam Schefter? Right. Yes, it is. 11 million followers. God. All right, so Jets fear that guard Elijah Vera Tucker suffered a season-ending torn tricep. Remember I said it had to be something with a bicep or a tri, maybe in the weight room? He's getting a second opinion, but obviously not looking good. If it's a torn tricep, he's out for the whole year.
No idea how yet. Nobody's reporting how it happened.
They don't know. I'm still going to guess the weight room, but you never know. Who knows?
We have literally 2 minutes. You think we could squeeze these in 2 minutes, or you want to wait for tomorrow, the over-unders?
I don't want to shortchange it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to shortchange
it. Well, our baseball over-unders, we did it. I was looking it up today because you mentioned it. We might as well get to it today. We could try to. We'll do it tomorrow. I'm looking okay.
Let me see. I've got yours. I did yours too. So
I'm at worst. At worst, 3-2.
Right, now we'll divulge the specifics tomorrow. All right, 1-1. 2-0.
We had nothing on the line this year anyway, so it really doesn't even matter.
2-1, maybe. 3-1. Yeah, you could go 3-2.
At worst.
Yeah, at worst. I agree.
You think that my biggest one are the Mets getting over 90.5.
They have to go. But even the Soto OPS, yeah, as good as he's
been.
But
I'm counting that one as a loss, basically.
Oh, you are? Okay, so yeah, the other ones you already got.
Because either, well, I guess.
Almost.
Wells over 17.5.
So I guess we are doing it.
Lindor, hold off. We can get him in. We can do it. Wells over 17.5, that's a win. Lindor over steals and homers 53. He needs one of each.
He's at 53
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay. Mets over 90.5 wins. They have to go 16-7 for me to get that.
Okay.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Yankees over 80.
Today, by the way,
Yankees over 88.5. They
should
have to
be
go
fine.
12-12 to get that. So that's going to be a win. And then Soto OPS, he's at 920 something.
He's at 925, 945. We also had a tiebreaker. Jazz steals and home run combined. I went for 61. You went for 52. So
he's
if we get
way
a
over
so
that.
If we get a tiebreaker, that favors me.
Yeah.
I had Alonso over 35.5 home runs.
He just tied the game. By the way, ripped a double. Lindor scores.
Did he really? Yeah, all right. I guess I'm gonna have to. Is he cheering or is he saying you're done with the show? We're done.
No, Hoff is cheering.
Oh, he's doing what is that little thing? What they
I don't know.
Do? They,
I'm not speculating.
Cheers, these Mets. Remember then when he was humping the dugout rail 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It's better. Yeah. God. Anyway, I have Alonso over 35.5 home runs. He's got 33. We'll win that. I've got Vientos under 87.5 RBIs. He's at 53. I'll win that. Max Fried already won 151 Ks. He's at 159, so that'll be 3-0. Now, I'm going to lose the Volpe one, which just tells you all you need to know about Volpe season. Volpe's OPS, on-base percentage, not OPS, on-base percentage, it was at 297, still, which is awful. It's not even like it's okay.
What was the number you had over-under?
297. He's not even close. It's 272, which is the worst in his career.
How's he not go over
there? I don't know, so I'm going to lose that. And this one, it's going to be tight. Mets wins. Your partner went.
Oh, that's right. That's the head-to-head that we have.
Under.
So you need the Mets to go worse than 16-7. Anything that helps you there?
It's close.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, Other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.